hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Vivi the Matadors. You are on, once again, with your boy, I'll be sure. And, you know, I'm probably not going to be as energetic as I usually am, probably not as lit as I usually am, because nobody should be lit after the performance we just watched as with Tech in Arizona. But before I get into that, I got to, you know, bring in my right-hand man, the guy that's always with me, Dylan Smythe. Dylan, are you lit at all?
No, I'm currently drying my tears with leftover soft taco shells from last night.
Oh, I mean, at least these soft taco shells. Not tortillas, but soft taco shells.
Soft taco shells, not tortillas. Totally different ballgame.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what? We should have known what was going to happen the second he said soft taco shells. We should have known, you know what? This is not going to be our night. Because we have announcers calling them soft taco shells. And sure enough, it was our night. Tech loses on the road to Arizona, 28-14. What were your first thoughts once the game ended, Dylan?
Well, I was asleep when the game ended, to be totally honest. I hit the SpongeBob meme. All right, I'm gonna head out. But I knew where it was going, and it just super average and mediocre all the way around the board. Like, if you weren't bad, you were average, and that was as good as it got for any position group across the board.
Oh, 100%. And the thing about it is, so I'm not in the preview pod, so I don't make predictions, but I did over the offseason on multiple a podcast say that I thought Tech was going to lose this game to Arizona. And I still thought Tech was going to lose this game to Arizona. I think my prediction before was Tech would lose 31-30 to Arizona. But actually, not to the back. I think I said 30. It was in the 30s. But the problem that I had in this game wasn't that. And I agree with you that everybody kind of played average, nobody played well, but at the same time, it wasn't even just the talent, because I don't think Arizona just has this plethora of talent that we can overcome. Matt Wells got outcoached, flat up, when X's and O's, coaching, Kevin Sumlin went out and just flat out outcoached him, and that's a problem.
Well, not only Matt Wells, but let's get a little specific here, David Yost.
Yeah, David Yost, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, the quarterback.
I think it's tough to point a finger at one single person in this entire debacle of a game. But if I were going to, it'd probably be Yost.
I'm gonna point it at both of them. Actually, I'm gonna point it at those two. And a lot of people blaming other guys, blaming Bowman, blaming the O-line. And don't get me wrong, there's some blame to go to some of those guys. But the first two, it's Wells and Yost. And the main reason is that Kingsbury's had his qualms, right? He's had his problems. We've discussed it many times. I'm not a Kingsbury fan. I'm not a Kingsbury guy. But I don't think on the offensive side of the ball, and I really thought about this all day today, has there ever been a time that I left a game thinking, man, Kingsbury just got whooped as an offensive coach? The only two games I could think of that I thought that I questioned it was Iowa State, which he did. Iowa State game, which was 2017 was when we scored 7 points. We had Patty Mahomes. And then TCU that same season. Were the only two times I could think of. But then I went back and looked at the tape of the TCU game. And Kingsbury didn't really get out coached. It's just the offense played terribly. Pat made some bad decisions. So the only game that in Kingsbury's entire career at Tech that I really thought that he got out coached was that game against Iowa State. So in 6 years, the worst coach, in my opinion, in Texas Tech history, had one game where he got outcoached on the offensive side of the ball. Took Matt Wells 3 games. That's not good.
No, it's super discouraging because, like, our standard has always been like, dang, if we could just have a defense, we'd be fine. Well, now we have a defense, and of course, he might not have an offense.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing. And so let's kind of steer into the skid there. Let's talk a little bit more about the offense. And let's talk about Alan Bowman. Alan Bowman got hurt early on, got hurt in the first half. We kept throwing it, though, threw the ball 55 times. And it didn't look like he was himself after getting hurt there. Do you think was really the injury, or was it just not his night?
I think a little bit of both. Honestly, I put the least amount of blame maybe on Alan Bowman. I think it started with the offensive line. Like, he was going back trying to throw slant routes, mesh routes, like 3-step drops, and he couldn't get a playoff. And I think it started from there. He was uncomfortable in the pocket from the rest of the game, and then we abandoned the run, and then the play calling was just atrocious. So I don't really blame Alan Bowman, but the injury is a concern, no doubt.
See, so I actually do. I do think the bigger blame goes to Yost and Wells. But I will say this. On the offensive side of the ball, I think I blame him more than any other player. And the reason I do is, yes, the O-line didn't play good. I mean, he was under pressure. Don't get me wrong. And it could be the injury. But Alan Bowman played scared. And it reminded me a lot. And actually, funny enough, I brought this up on the Long Hard podcast in the offseason that it wouldn't shock me. Sorry about that. It wouldn't shock me if Alan Bowman had a Davis Webb-like regression in his sophomore year. And this game that I saw last night, I saw a Davis Webb type regression. Remember Davis Webb in sophomore year? He played more scared, more quick decisions, more inaccuracies. And this game that I saw with Alan Bowman, I saw the same thing. Because, yes, he did have pressure with Arizona's D-line. At the same time, Alan Bowman he was making quick decisions he didn't need to make. There was sometimes he had a clean pocket and he was just throwing it because he was worried something was going to happen. And a part of me does feel like maybe the injury. Part of me maybe feels like it was a collapsed lung last season. Some of the injury problems he had last season all coming together. But quarterbacks can't play scared. I live in Houston. I've seen scared quarterbacks the entire Texans run, right? One of the big differences between Deshaun Watson and David Carr is though Deshaun Watson keeps getting beat down, he doesn't play scared. David Carr played scared the second he got off the bus every game. And Davis Webb played scared his sophomore season. And I'm worried that Alan Bowman may start playing scared. And if he does, this is going to be a very, very bad season.
I really feel like all the things you just said could be attributed to the O-line, though. He was scared because he had no time to throw. But you're right. There were times where he might have had some time, and he just checked down. He was the check down champion last night.
Oh, 100%.
It was rough. And when he did have time, he was inaccurate.
See, but here's the thing. So being the check down champion in this offense isn't the worst thing. Because if you remember in the Neil – I'm going to bring up the Neil Brown because it's the closest I can think of this offense is too. Seth Dagey was a check down champion. The difference is that Seth Dagey went through his progressions. A lot of the times with Bowman, from last night, from what we saw with Bowman, he quickly went to – checking down. Like, didn't even give some of his receivers time to progress. There was one play I saw, Vasher had to make a move. He went in and out. That takes time to progress. By the time he was able to make his full route, it had already been passed down to Shine. It had already been passed down to Thompson. You know, so that, I it's okay to be the check down champion, but you have to at least progress. Go through your progressions. And because he played scared last night, he didn't even give him a chance. But like kind of what you're going at and what a lot of people are going at, man, O-line got to be better. That's supposed to be the strength of the offense. They have to be better.
Yeah, and Jack Anderson and Terrence Steele were both back for this game. So pregame, when I saw that announcement from Don Williams, I was like, oh, let's go. We got a full-strength offensive line for the first time this year. And they disappointed. Terrence Steele was awful.
Yeah, he was bad. And it makes me question it, just like a question with Bowman. You said full strength. Were they really full strength? You know, like Terrence Steele was pretty. It was really disappointing. Jack Anderson was okay, but he wasn't dominating at any point in the game. So it does make you question. You know, we're gonna have a bye week this week before we go get into conference play, and maybe this team needs it. Bowman, Steele, Jay Anderson, all those guys. I will say, the skill players actually, I think, played well. I think the skill players played well. I think they played as good as they could. Shine, my boy Shine, had another good game. Vasher had another good game. I think he did have a drop or two, but for the most part, had a good game. And a weird stat that shout out to Emery Lida, listener of the of the podcast, they brought up to me yesterday that TJ Vasher has a weird knack for 6-catch games. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't paid attention to this, no.
So TJ Vasher, and let me see if I can pull up the stat here real quick, has 6 catches in his last game. And hold on a second. I gotta find this stat here.
This sounds like an Emery stat already.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so TJ Vasher has had exactly 6 catches for 5 straight games.
Neat.
And of the last 8 games, he's had 6 straight catches for 7 of them. That is a weird, like, do you just stop playing at that point? Like, you get your 6 catches, and you're like, all right, I'm, like, do you demand the ball until you get 6 catches? And you're like, all right, I'm out. And like the SpongeBob meme, all right, I'm gonna head out. Like, I'm good.
I got my 6. You guys can get some now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why he didn't have such a great season at the end of last year. Maybe he was just like, you know what? Nah, man, I'm Wesley, you can catch the rest of the passes. You can catch the rest of the passes. I'm good. I got my 6.
Hey, his Twitter handle is Vash for 6.
See, and we always thought it was about touchdowns.
Nope. No. Receptions, baby.
About catches. I got it. All right, well, there's another side of the ball, and though we were upset with how the offense played, defense was ranked, we were top 10 in the nation coming into this game. Now, mind you, we played 2 scrubs, so it didn't hold much into that. So this is really going to be the first test against Khalil Tate, one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country. I think we've kind of boosted him a little bit for saying he's like a Heisman, you know, caliber player. Let's relax on that. But he's still really good. He's still extremely talented, right? And defense played well.
Yeah. If you erase that 199-yard drive at the end of the game and you erase the big play from Khalil Tate, the big run, the defense played really well. And if you would have told me going into this game that we would hold Arizona and Khalil Tate to 28 points, I would have said it was a dub.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like I said, I thought this game was going to be in the 30s. And you're right. I mean, really, those are the only two. Now, I will say that I did talk about that 99-yard drive, and I personally said that it was one of the worst drives I've seen Tech defense ever have, which is saying a lot. I watched the Leach teams. And I've watched the Kingsbury teams. And to say that was one of the worst drives I've ever seen is saying a lot. And here's the thing. A lot of people are going to say they were tired. And they were tired. Of course they were tired. But here's the difference, right, is this. The Wildcats might as well told you before every play what they were going to do. They did nothing but run it up the guard every play. And it was usually up the right guard every play. Every single play. You know what the play is going to happen. And they were disrespectful enough to say, we're going to tell you what we're going to do, and it's not going to matter. Of the 12 straight runs, I want to say 9 or 10 of them are right up the gut. A couple of them, the running back just bounced out a little bit. So that's pretty embarrassing. It was the whole time just the Tech defense couldn't stop it whatsoever. And it was for the game, too. Like that's another thing, is that this was all with the game on the line. You stop them. You stop them from scoring a touchdown. The offense gets the ball back. Maybe we can make some magic happen. No, they couldn't stop them whatsoever. Game on the line, 99 yards. That is embarrassing. That's one of the worst drives I think I've ever seen. And yes, they were gassed, of course. But I just don't think that's an excuse when you know what they're going to run. Here's the thing. And here's a complaint that I always have when it comes to defense being tired. Aren't the offensive players playing too? So is the defense...
For the same exact amount of time, yeah.
For the same exact amount of time. So why would it be that the defense is so worn out, but the offense are spring chickens? Like, that sounds like a conditioning issue. It sounds like, you know, and I will say the offense didn't really substitute much during that drive, so I know you weren't able to... The defense players weren't able to drive out, but or weren't able to swap out, but that does sound like an endurance issue. It sounds like an issue of players just not really having the fight. Maybe they I did sense some give up. Once Arizona passed the midway point, I think in that drive, Jordan Brooks, who played spectacularly up to that point, it seemed like the team gave up. They were like, you know what, we're just not gonna stop them. And that's the problem with that drive.
That's when I gave up too. That's honestly when I fell asleep, was at some point during that drive, my brain just said, nope, not worth it anymore, I give up. But I will say, everyone on the defense looked extremely average outside of Jordan Brooks and Douglas Coleman.
Now, those two balled. Like I said, outside of that drive, Jordan Brooks.
He's an NFL linebacker, like first-round draft pick. Yeah, like, the dude's a stud.
Is he better than Dakota was last year?
We'll look at the numbers at the end of the season, and I bet it's real close.
I'll put it this. I'll say this, and I'm willing to say this with distinction. He's a better run defender than Dakota Allen was. I'd argue that he was a better run defender last year than Dakota Allen was, but Dakota Allen got all the praise. Jordan Burks has been a good run defender since his freshman year. And it's now that Dakota Allen's not there anymore, it's kind of getting heaped back on him. All the accolades are getting, everybody's remembering, oh yeah, Jordan Burks guy's pretty good. But he really showed in this game. Big, big reason why Tech's defense was so dominant for most of it. Yeah, he was getting Douglas Coleman, two interceptions. I mean, I personally think that whole... I know he may get in trouble for that penalty, that flag that kind of cost us.
Penalty was garbage.
That's trash. And that's one of the things that I hope he doesn't get in trouble for. I hope that the coaches are just like, you know what? That's trash. Like, that's, you know, what is he supposed to do in that situation? But both players played really well. And I hope we see more of Douglas Coleman because he's not been reliable before. But this year, three good games.
Through three games, he's our best defensive back.
Yeah. Better than Adrian Fry, shockingly enough.
Yeah, like, you can't even argue it at this point. Like, the dude's been balling. He likes that new safety spot.
Yeah, well, because he actually can play it. And that's really the thing with Douglas Coleman, is that he was never, we talked about it last year, he was never a good corner, right? And so it's kind of like Coach Patterson walked in first day of practice and was like, why are you at this position, son?
Why is the safety playing corner?
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here, guys? Put the safety back in safety. He's like, oh, no, coach. Gibbs had him at corner. Well, that's why Gibbs isn't here anymore. Put safety. All right. Like, that's for sure. I mean, as Douglas Coleman is definitely a national-born safety, and he's showing it. He played well. And I digged on Adrian Fry a little bit later, but I think Adrian Fry actually had a decent game this game, too.
Yeah, no, he did. He played well, but it's just through three games, Douglas Coleman's been that dude in the secondary.
100%. So let's talk a little bit about on the defensive side of the ball. I think we talked about the corners and the linebackers, but one line that I actually don't think had a great showing, with the exception of one guy, is the D-line. Khalil Tate really kind of was able to work a little bit in this, right? If Jordan Brooks wasn't spying him, or Jordan Brooks wasn't everywhere, the only guy that I think on the D-line that played really well is Big Broad. Roger Washington was a beast, right? Outside of that,
Where's Eli Howard been for three games?
Dude, he had no tackles in this game. I think the first game, I don't think he had a tackle. He has only like two tackles on the season?
Yeah, he's been nowhere. Nowhere to be cited from Eli Howard. He was supposed to be, you know, our best pass rusher this year.
And just nothing from him. That's a very good point. So basically we kind of talked about it now. That's another guy. So we talked about Eli Adrian Fry had a decent game this game, but hasn't been great this year in general. And Eli Howard's another guy that really, and Eli Howard hasn't played well at all, like in all three games. And a lot of times he hasn't even been on the field. And instead we're getting guys like Jalen Hutchins, guys like Ingram, other guys that are really taking some of the time that Eli Howard should be getting instead.
Yeah, and it's really disappointing to see, because in our preseason, when we write like the top 10 most important players going into the year, he was on that list.
Yeah, yikes. 100%. And so, yeah, I don't know. And part of me is like, dude, you're supposed to be trying for the NFL next year. It's kind of slipping through your fingers, my guy.
Yeah, not a great showing yet for 3 weeks. Maybe a bye week will get him straight, because we need him.
Maybe so. And so I do want to go back to one thing. And we're talking about coaching again, right? And I just want to let you know. So Arizona, before they played the Texas Tech Red Raiders, you know who they played in their first game?
They played Hawaii.
Did they win that game, Dylan?
Nope. They lose by 1 yard.
They did lose by a yard because the defense gave up 45 points to Hawaii.
45. Okay? Yep.
45. So second game, they won the second game because they were 1-1 coming to this game. They won the second game. You know who they played?
University of Northern Iowa.
Arizona.
Arizona, yeah, yeah.
In-state rivalry. Northern Arizona. They won that game. Khalil Tate went off. He put up 65 points. You know how many points the defense gave up?
A lot.
41.
And 1,000 yards between both those games, too.
Yeah, so 1,000. Arizona is arguably the worst defense in the country. One of the worst, but probably the worst. And this team only put up 14 points. That's less about the players. I'm sorry, and that's coaching. There was one play I saw in the fourth quarter where they came up to the line, Mind you, game's on the line, right? Game on the line. Came to the line, and Arizona's pressing. So they lug back. They check it. They check it. Oh, no, they're pressing. They're pressing. Check it. Check it. We're going to do a quick. And the funny thing is while he's doing this, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Something tells me they're going to be in a zone here, and they're checking it out. They're going to be in a zone here. Watch. Sure enough, he was in a zone. Alan Bowman almost threw an interception off a crossing route. Off and out, I should say. That right there is you're getting manipulated by a guy who should have been fired. Marcel Tate is going to be fired by the end of the year. The defensive coordinator for Arizona. He's going to be fired.
And not only that, going into this game, they played a four-man front the first two games, and then they came out and completely changed and went to a three-man front with five D-backs for this game. So they changed their whole defense. The dude's on the line about to get fired, and we can't get anything.
That's not good. That's not good. And mind you, a lot of people listening to this podcast may say, but Al, you predicted them to lose in the first place, so why are you so surprised at this? And the main reason why this game was so disappointing to me is I thought we were going to lose because I thought Khalil Tate would have a good day. I thought defense would struggle against Khalil Tate. I thought there would be a situation to where I thought it'd be a talent situation, right? Khalil Tate's going to have a good day. Kevin Sumlin and Khalil Tate's going to have it all on all cylinders. We lose 38-34. We lose 42-35 or something like that because the points were up there. Right, I'd never thought in a million years it was a situation because David Yost didn't know how to coach. That's one thing I didn't know was going to happen. I didn't know it'd be a situation because when the game was over, I didn't leave the game thinking that Arizona had the more talented players. Like I thought I might be leaving. I thought I'd come back and say, you know what, hey, Arizona, they got some dudes over there, right? That's what I thought was going to happen. No, that's not what it came out to be. What came out to be was that Yost and Wells couldn't coach. Excuse me. And that's a problem. Here's the thing. I saw one tweet, and sorry to take up your talk time there, Dylan, but I saw one tweet where somebody said, hey, it's going to be okay because let's not forget that Matt Rhodes at Baylor let's not forget that Art Briles had a really bad first year, that Matt Campbell had a really bad first year, who else was a comparison?
I mean, Matt Rhules had a couple bad years in Baylor's. Baylor's turning the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Rhules was another good example. So I brought up these examples. And here's what I'll say about to that example is, one, every example that was mentioned was them taking over dumpster fire programs, right? Them taking over just abysmal programs. And another thing, they didn't get out-coached. Matt Rhule's first year at Baylor when they went 1-11, not one game did Matt Rhule just go out and get flat-out out-coached. His team sucked. His team sucked every game. Now, so it's either you think this team talent-wise just sucks, which it doesn't, or Matt Wells is out here getting out coached. And that's a problem. Mind you, Tech in the offseason was the number one destination, if you think about it.
It was the best job in the Big 12, yeah.
It was the best job in the Big 12, one of the best jobs in the nation. Hell, Tennessee didn't know what the hell they were doing. So Tech ended up being one of the better jobs in the nation. And we had our pick. And one of the guys that wanted to come to Tech out here beating NC State. You saw my boy Neil Brown, dude?
It's NC State, but
I don't care. He's doing it with scrubs. Those are scrubs.
That's true, because everybody left West Virginia. Yeah, everybody stayed did. Texas Tech. We didn't lose much.
Exactly. So that's what's embarrassing. So let's talk about more of the Big 12 games this week before I get even more riled up around the Big 12. So let's get into that game. NC State, West Virginia. Did you watch it?
No. I don't watch West Virginia. They're garbage.
Well, I will say I watched it because, Neil Brown Hive over here. All right. That is my boy. Shocking they won this game. Right? NC State's not a bad football
team. They were home dogs in this game.
Yeah. NC State is not a bad football team at all. I never thought West Virginia would win this game. Are you kidding me? No, not at all. And so for them to come out and beat NC State was really impressive. And that offense, is supposed to be like ours, mind you. And Kendall played really well, slinging the ball around. But most importantly, he slung it to one guy and one guy in particular. And that guy being Sam James. Sam James, the freshman, came out. Neil Brown's boy, Sam James, came out and balled 155 yards. Good game for the Mountaineers. Man, hey, you know, Neil Brown might have coach us. Now that's a game I got to worry about. Now it's a game I got to worry about. Oh, goodness gracious. Next up, the Friday night game, Kansas at Boston College. Now, this was on Friday. Did you watch this one?
I watched a little bit of this one. And when I did watch it, it was close. I didn't see Kansas pull away, but I saw Kansas fight. And I saw Kansas fight hard. And Carter Stanley looked like Nate Stanley from Iowa. And Khalil Herbert had a really good game next to Puka Williams. They had a little more weapons, a little more skills than I think people give them credit for. But I don't know how you rebound after losing to Coastal Carolina and win this game. There's no explanation for that.
You know what the explanation is? Puka Williams played. I mean, but
now Khalil Herbert had more yards.
Huh? No, you're right. No, Herbert was great. Don't get me wrong. Herbert was great. So let me not discount him. But Puka Williams played. Puka Williams he's a really good running back. And so now you have a two-headed monster, right? Last year was just Puka. Puka was the entire offense. This year, you got Puka, you got Herbert, and then Stanley's actually getting better. Who knew?
Carter Stanley looks like a good quarterback this year.
Yeah, I just thought Carter Stanley would be trash forever. But, you know, who knew? Well, who knew that once you have a running game, your job as a quarterback gets a lot easier? Ah, shocker.
you hear that, Coach Yost? Run the damn ball.
basically, in this game, the Jayhawks ended up winning on the road at Boston College. Again, Boston College is not a terrible team. Now, I will say Boston College isn't a world beaters, but they're going to compete they're supposed to compete for a bowl game this year, right? And where Kansas is not. So, again, is this a game we got to worry about? Every game now is a worrisome game. Because every game now I got to worry, man, is this coach?
I mean, it's still kind of how we thought it was. From the top three down, it's a crap show.
Fair enough. Speaking of crap shows, K-State at Mississippi State. Or speaking of teams that are supposed to be crap shows, K-State and Mississippi State. Upset on the road. I watched this game in its entirety. What about you?
Yeah, same here. And going into the season, I thought Kansas State would be in the basement of the Big 12 this year. I thought this was the year Kansas overthrows Kansas State. But after 2 weeks, I picked them to win this game, and they made me look smart. Upset special, baby.
I think Kansas State is the worst team in the Big 12 this year. I've not been a fan of the Klieman hire. I didn't think it was a good hire. I thought it was actually the worst hire in the Big 12. He is shutting me the hell up. That's for sure. This is a huge win. This is one of the biggest upsets K-State's had in I don't know how long. Like that, this is a ranked SEC team on the road that K-State was able to beat. And not only did they beat, it wasn't one of those shocker upsets where they go up three touchdowns. They go up three touchdowns in the first quarter, and Mississippi State's fighting all the way back in the second half and stuff like that. It wasn't one of those games, right? It was a net back and back, neck and neck kind of game the whole way through, and Kansas State was just like, we're better than you.
Malik Knowles and Dalton Schoen are dudes. Like, they got some talent on that team. Better watch out. It's another one I'm worried about in the schedule now.
I will say, here's one thing, though. Skylar Thompson didn't pass the ball a lot. And so I do think there is a way to beat K-State a little easier. Even though they won this game, part of me looks at that and says, you know what? Just have Skylar Thompson pass.
Yeah, make him beat you with his arm. His QBR was 55 in a win.
Yeah, he's still not that good of a passer. And I would argue he was probably the worst passer in the conference yesterday. So the most impressive win had the worst quarterback. So that's kind of weird, but
it's kind of been Kansas State's MO though.
Yeah, it's K-State. Yeah, for sure. So next up, it was going to be so much fun if Oklahoma State actually lost this game, but they didn't. They beat Tulsa 40-21. Did you watch this one?
I think I was busy watching the Iowa State Iowa game during this one, but Spencer Sanders, once again, looks good.
So actually, I watched this game instead because Iowa State was in a rain delay. I wasn't about to wait for that. And Spencer Sanders, he actually didn't look as good as I thought he would, right? So Sanders has a lot of talent. Like I think he's a guy that by his junior senior year can be just a beast of a quarterback. But he made a lot of freshman mistakes in this game, and because of this, Chuba Hubbard who was a man among boys, had to take over for them to win this game. Because Tulsa could put it to him, right? Oklahoma State was up 17-0, and at halftime, Tulsa was leading, right? 21-20. And then, even after Oklahoma State took the lead, Tulsa still tried to take it back again. So Tulsa actually took it to Oklahoma State. But it wasn't until, you know, Tylan Wallace was like, look, Sanders, give me the effing ball and watch me work. And sure enough, 90-yard touchdown, basically put the game away for Oklahoma State. But I will say, in this game, I did watch this game and think, you know what? Oklahoma State's, they're beatable. Like, they're, that team, the cornerback play in Stillwater is trash. They are bad, the corners. I'm not saying the whole secondary. The safeties aren't that bad. But the corners, one-on-one on the outside, when Tech plays them, TJ Vash is going to have a field day. They're not good. And I've seen them all three games so far. And all three games, I left thinking, these corners really... Even McNeese State, I was like, these corners aren't that good.
This game was close for a long time. I did switch over during the rain delay, and it was a tie ball game. And then, of course, right when I switched away, they scored quite a bit. But Chuba Hubbard, you're right, 256 on the ground.
Yeah. And now people put him in the Heisman conversation. I don't know why, because Jalen Hurts is just going to win it. But putting him in. So speaking of Jalen Hurts, he did go to sunny California and beat the crap out of UCLA. Hurts did. I mean, Lincoln Riley's quarterbacks do what they do. Blowout season.
It's crazy how bad this UCLA Chip Kelly experiment has been. That's my takeaway from this. I knew Oklahoma was going to smash him. That's why I didn't even bother looking. But once again, Jalen Hurts, you're right. He's the Heisman front runner, probably win it again and be the first overall pick in the draft. Just cue it up now.
You might as well. I mean, honestly, Jalen Hurts has kind of been more impressive than his predecessors. Like, Jalen Hurts is a beast. And the thing about it is that Jalen Hurts is much more dangerous on the ground than Baker was. I don't know if I'm willing to go as far as say he's more dangerous than Kyler was, because Kyler was a magician on his
own. So quick, too.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts is, but as quick as Kyler was, you could argue Jalen's faster. Like, they run differently, right? And so because of that, you're just as dangerous, and he's become a much better passer. People keep thinking of Jalen Hurts when he was a freshman or early in a sophomore year before he got benched for Tua and thinking that's the passer he is. Mind you, Jalen was never a bad passer. He just went from an passer to a who? Got Lincoln Riley with him now, 2 years removed. Like, yeah.
Lincoln Riley can teach a quarterback things in a year.
Yeah, just give him the Heisman. I mean, I don't know. What are we doing here? All right? Like, we don't have to worry about this. What you think? Tua's going to get it? No. Give him the Heisman.
Here's my best case scenario for this season. Oklahoma beats Alabama in the national championship game, and Jalen Hurts is the MVP. Lincoln Riley then takes the head coaching job for the Dallas Cowboys.
Texans.
Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys are 2-0. Y'all are good. Yeah,
I like Kellen Moore. I just don't like Jason Garrett.
Yeah, but you're going to have Garrett for a while. You know, you have your boy. Bill O'Brien's out here getting Deshaun Watson killed, okay? Lincoln Riley's going to – and you know what? I'm anti-Oklahoma. If Oklahoma was to meet Alabama in the national championship game, I actually think I'd want Jalen Hurts to beat Alabama so bad.
Too. That's what I want from this season.
Yeah, I want to root for Oklahoma. I'm rooting strictly for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, right.
So, speaking of – teams that hurt. It's a weird segue. Texas at Rice in Houston in NRG. It was supposed to be a home game for Rice, but it was 90% Texas. 95% Texas.
It's how this game's always been. I've actually went to this game a few years back, and yeah, it's always a Texas crowd. Yeah, but they just, you know, nothing much to say here. They took care of business against Rice.
Yeah, because Rice sucks, but unfortunately, the guy who couldn't beat Rice's starting quarterback is our backup quarterback. So there's that. I didn't watch this game. There's no need to. Sam Ehlinger looks like he was really efficient. 23 for 27 in this game. 3 touchdowns. Sam Ehlinger is telling me to shut the heck up, talking about he's trash because he's played really well so far. Main thing with Ehlinger is just being efficient. He has been that. He's kind of the be efficient, let the coach do what he does, pass the open people, don't make mistakes. So he's kind of become the Jared Goff of the Big 12. So good for him. Next up, TCU at Purdue. And Purdue's gotten better. So I will say for TCU, face value, this doesn't look that great of a win. But it's actually a much better win than it seems. Like, this was a good win for them.
This is a huge win for them, at least in my opinion. I expected them, especially at Purdue, wherever the hell it is that they play football. I really expected Purdue to win this game. They have a lot of talent there in the Big Ten. But TCU with Max Duggan. Ugh. Terrible quarterback play from TCU, and they still got it done. So
I agree. I actually also thought Purdue was going to win this game because I watched a lot of Purdue football last year. Don't ask me why. And they
were... Rondale Moore is electric.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yes, that's why. And so the fact that... So I did think they were going to win. I thought also this was going to be the game where everybody realizes that TCU is bad, right? Like, I thought this was going to be the game that everybody was like, oh, okay, well, let's not have high hope for TCU this year because they just got whooped by Purdue. And that wasn't the case at all. TCU came out and from the very beginning put their hands on Purdue's throat. But talk a little bit about the quarterback play because Max Duggan did come in and because Alex Delton was terrible and Duggan was just as bad, I guess. Well, maybe not as bad because you can't be worse than a 0.7 QBR, but
20.2 isn't much better.
Isn't much better. Luckily, 346 yards on the ground helps all of that go away.
Well, so what this is saying is, like, sell out to stop the run, make one of these quarterbacks beat you. But I guess Purdue wasn't able to do that.
Yeah, no, not at all. TCU is definitely going to be an interesting case throughout the year, I would say, because it does seem like they have a really good running attack. But the quarterback, I told y'all what Alex Delton was when he was announced as the quarterback. He sucks, okay? As much as we talk about Skylar Thompson not being a good quarterback at K-State, Alex Delton lost a job to him. All right. So, yeah, he sucks. And it looks like he's, again, going to get benched. So, really bad quarterback over there at TCU. So, now it's time to get to a team that shares in our misery of taking an L this weekend. Iowa, and actually their L is so much worse because it's to a rival. College Game Day came down there for the first time ever. Yeah, and the way they lost. ISU, what's up? What's up? What happened?
My gosh, the punt. The punt, they lost on a special teams error. That's ridiculous. I really thought Iowa State was up for this game. But, and they were. It really was a back and forth game. It was a dogfight. It was hard to watch because it lasted 5 hours.
It's what you expect from the Cy-Hawk. Like, these games are never fun. Yeah. Ever fun.
It wasn't fun to watch, but it was a great game.
Yeah, no, like these. And so the thing about the Cy-Hawk, I think the Cy-Hawk's actually one of the best and worst rivalries in college football because it's one of the best because it's always competitive. Like, no matter how good, and usually it's no matter how good Iowa is, no matter how bad Iowa State is, it's always a good game. Occasionally, like last year, it's no matter how good Iowa State is and how bad Iowa is, but then Iowa ended up having a good season. You know, like stuff like that happens all the time. But I say one of the worst because it's always boring. Like, it never fails to be, and it's never exciting. It's never like a 45-42 type of game. Like, it's always dog grinded out, mud game, 6-3. And this game was 18-17. Except because of a muffed punt at the end of the game, Iowa won.
I mean, it's seriously the worst way for a really good game to end.
I thought it was a great way. I laughed.
I feel
lot.
For Iowa State fans, like, dang, so close.
Yeah. Well, next week, guys, Tech is on a bye week, so no games for us. The conference play does start. Two conference games happening next week: West Virginia at Kansas, battle of trash teams, and you have Oklahoma State at Texas. That actually could be a good test for Texas. Actually, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Oklahoma State too. Up to this. I do want to say one thing before we get off this pod. All right, guys. Look, pod people, listen to me. And this is our pod universe, not just Tech fans. Pod universe, listen to me. I get it, right? Texas brought this on themselves with the horns down, like being just big complainers and whiners and stuff like that. Like, they brought it on themselves. I get it. But when your main hand sign is the horns down now, that is kind of lame. It's kind of corny. Like, OU, a bunch of the OU guys in the NFL, I think with Adrian Peterson, Kyler Murray, a bunch of those guys got together and for like a group photo, and they did the horns down. And I'm like, that's corny now. That's your identity, is the horns down? It's corny now. You made it corny. Like, I get it. UT did it themselves. I understand that. It's just corny.
interesting side rant.
Yeah, that's my side rant. Like, I get it. It's their West Virginia did it at their game too. Like, Texas not even there. Like, now you're just empowering them.
You're wrong. Hornstown is still fun. It's because they still get butthurt over it.
They do, but I mean, I'll say this. I don't see it as much with Tech because we actually have a lit hand sign. But, like, West Virginia, you don't have one. So now they just do horns down for everything. And it gets kind of corny when you're just doing a hands down just to do it. Like, you're not playing UT. Tech's not even in this situation. They're just doing a hands down as your school sign. That's corny now. That's just my little tidbit.
I have a tidbit.
What's that?
Relax. RELAX. You see the Twitter, Texas Tech Twitter and Facebook fans around full force today saying, like, clean house, it's all over. Relax. It's one loss against a Power 5 team. Zach had a really good tweet. Like, it's a loss against a really good Power 5 team on the road for a first-year head coach. Okay, relax.
Now both you and Zach relax. Arizona's not that good. Okay.
The fact that Zach is getting called out on Twitter for optimism is great.
Yeah, that's a really...
That's how you know something's wrong with the fan base.
Now, I will say this, because we didn't even get to this, and real quick, because this pod's getting a little long now, but Jacob Harris wrote a very good article Sunday and he blames... The number one person he blames for the loss wasn't Alan Bowman. Wasn't the D-line, wasn't the O-line, and it wasn't David Yost or Matt Wells. He blames Cliff Kingsbury for the loss. What do you have to say about that?
Man, I'm glad Jacob's not on this pod because I'm kind of going to crap on this article here. I think the talent level was pretty similar, and I think the only argument you could have for Cliff Kingsbury screwing this game up is he wasn't a great recruiter, he wasn't too interested in it. That might be true, but I don't think the talent level was so ridiculous that you can blame this on Cliff Kingsbury. Like, no, you blame this on Matt Wells and David Yost.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what I was going to get into. We talked about the other team, the other coaches. Neil Brown, Chris Klieman, and Les Miles took really bad programs. I won't say Klieman. I don't think Kansas State's that bad of a program that he took over.
But all those teams have less talent than ours does right now. Exactly.
All those teams have less talent than ours does, and they all had dog wins yesterday. All of them had dog wins. Now, I can't go back to see what – I don't know who the underdog or favorite. I think we were dogs in the game against Arizona. Were we not?
I think we were narrow favorites. 2.5-point favorites.
Okay, so we were favorites. We were favorites on the road. All three of those teams were dogs in their games, right? Neil Brown and Les Miles specifically took over trash can situations. Neil Brown took over one where everybody left. He got to campus and everybody was like, he got to campus, all the seniors were already gone heading to the NFL, and every other talented player was like, I'm out.
Right. Where's Hogo gone?
Yeah. Les Miles is coaching Kansas. So both of those guys have awful situations. Matt Rule's another good example. Matt Rule took over a dumpster fire of a program in Baylor, right? Matt Wall isn't taking that over. He's not taking over a dumpster fire type of situation. He's taking over a situation of a program that has more money than every program that I just mentioned. Even West Virginia, shockingly enough, has more money than every program that I just mentioned and has more talent in his first year than every program that I just mentioned, right? So right there kind of tells you he's not taking over a dumpster fire program. He's not – Kingsbury – honestly, Kingsbury wasn't that bad of a recruiter. Like, he wasn't as good as Tuberville, but he's better than Leach. Like, Kingsbury wasn't that bad of a recruiter. The talent level on this team isn't that bad. I even said that I think this defense is actually better this year than they were last year, and they kind of proved it last night. Now the offense is on the other hand, but coming into the season, we all talk about how good we thought the quarterback and offensive line was going to be. So that's not really an excuse to blame Kingsbury. I think that's, we can blame Kingsbury for a lot of stuff, right? I just don't think the loss yesterday was one.
What I think you might be able to blame Kingsbury on is just like building this culture and habits of just being really undisciplined. Cause you saw it again last night. You really did. And I think you could blame that on Kingsbury.
Yeah.
And I think his article does go into that.
It does, and you can also talk about the culture, basically, what it's saying. And like I said, I thought the defense kind of gave up on that game-losing drive last night, and you can possibly blame that on Kingsbury, too. But here's the thing, Wells. It's your job now.
Yeah.
It's your job now. So.
But it's just, you know, you see adversity and then old habits, you know. There they are.
Well, here's what you do. Clean house. Kick everybody out.
Yeah, seriously, no. I saw it on Facebook this morning, like, clean house. Everyone's gone. Fire Kirby Hocutt. It's chill. Relax.
I did see a tweet that was like, if he goes 2-10 this year, are we done with him? So I will say, anybody that, if we go 2-10 with him, oh man, the fan base is going to riot. But he's, no matter what happens, Wells is here for 4 years. I just want to let everybody know that. Like, I don't, if he goes 2-10 for 4 years, it is what it is. But he's here for 4 years.
Yeah, I think Kirby Hocutt's an AD that sees the value in building something with somebody. You mean you saw it with Cliff?
Yeah,
he wanted it to work.
He gave Cliff 6 years. You're not to fire Cliff after 4. That's being generous.
But college football does have a habit of getting rid of coaches far too early.
See, actually, I disagree. In college football, most times you get at least 3-4 years in college football. NFL is the one they give you after a year. But how often do you see a guy get fired after a year? Hell, Lovie Smith is still at Illinois. How he isn't fired yet, I don't know.
Do you think Charlie Strong deserved another year at Texas?
That's a hard one.
My answer would be yes.
Really? That's tough. Because he was never going to get better.
Well,
he got screwed over. He got screwed over. Don't get me wrong. Like, both are
it's
true.
The most impatient fan base in football sports.
He definitely got screwed over, but I don't think he ever would have gotten much better. Like, let's face it. I mean, Tom Herman, like Tom, they went to the New York Six Bowl last year. They're not doing that with Charlie Strong. I like Charlie Strong. He's my fraternity. He's a Sigma. Blue Fi. But I don't think that would have ever happened. So I hate to. Maybe it would have worked if he had a better foundation in the first place, and they didn't, you know, say screw you, black man, get away from here. But you know, probably shouldn't get too much into the weeds on that one. Got anything else to say to the people?
Nope. Just relax. It's one game. We can start calling for people lose their jobs after like week 7 or 8 if it's really ugly, but relax.
So my thing is that no need to call for jobs. Just don't care about football so much. That's it. Just don't care about football so much. Remember, we talked all last year and the year before about being a basketball school. You thought it was a joke? Thought it was a game?
How many days till basketball?
Yes, it's not a game. We're a basketball / baseball / track / every other sport but football school, okay? This ain't a game, all right? I'm not new to this. I'm true to this, okay? Stop caring about football and this heartache goes away, all right? Because guess what? In 2 weeks, we're getting smashed by Oklahoma. All right, I'm going to let y'all know this. We just hyped up Jalen Hurts. You saw what we did to UCLA? Lord, guess what he's about to do to us? Is that what we did to Houston? Oh, my goodness. This is in Oklahoma. We're getting destroyed by Oklahoma. It's going to be not pretty. All right?
We talked pre-pod about just skipping game planning for Oklahoma and just chalk that up as an L.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, let's go after a game we can win. We might be able to win Oklahoma State at home. Let's 3 weeks game plan for that. And when it's Oklahoma, we just say, like, look, guys, try your best. See what happens.
Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. Pep talk before Oklahoma. Good luck, everybody. Like, no, getting whooped. So, so if y'all, just stop worrying about football. Go to basketball season, all right? Michael Peavy was in town the other day, a week or two ago, right? Recruiting. Basketball recruiting. That's what matters. Dylan, where can people find you on social media?
At Air Raid Podcast. I've kind of been tweeting mostly from there these days. So, yeah, at Air Raid Podcast.
That's for me. At Mr. _ Albie Shore. And fire tweets from both accounts, for sure. Well, for Dylan, you've been listening to Albie on the Air Raid Podcast, been by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. As always, relax, everybody. Or go crazy. I really don't care. Stay wrecked, folks.